Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It is a beautiful Thursday here in Houston, and after the last couple days' weather, this is a welcome respite. If you've listened to the show before, you know that we always start off by reminding you that none of the hosts, including this one today, are rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If such advice is required, we strongly recommend that you engage a professional, hopefully someone that's already familiar with your facts and circumstances. And if you don't have someone that understands real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, and investing your retirement funds, along with real estate private partnership syndications and zero tax math strategies as you head into retirement, or maybe you're already there, then go to our website at beaplannershow.com, and you will notice that on the homepage, again, it's beaplannershow.com, you'll see some links just under the page title. Off towards the right, you'll see a forms link and you'll see a call link. And that's all you need. If you'll fill out the first form on the forms page, or all of the forms if you have time, we at least want that first form before we undertake a call. But once you submit that step one, form one, then you can go click the call link and schedule a call. And we will try to advise you on how we might sync up with your goals and objectives. And I know most of the other shows, in fact, I was just listening to the prior show undertaken by a real estate platform here in Houston. And I hear this commonly on the real estate shows, is that they're just, this is just for your entertainment. And I get a chuckle at that, because at times I think, you know, it is entertaining to me because I know the reality behind a couple of those programs. And I'll tell you, entertainment is a pretty good explanation of what they peddle. And I'm going to suggest to you that if you need help, real help, independent help, not just someone that's trying to sell you a membership to then sell you investments in their members' transactions. No one else. Their members won't be introduced to transactions from other syndicators that aren't paying a fee or a membership fee to join those organizations. The show that comes on right before ours, the syndicator, if you've got a deal you want to pitch to their members, you actually pay a fee to come in, even though you're not a member in most cases. You pay a fee to come in and put on a presentation and attempt to raise capital. And by the way, those syndicators are not exclusive to that platform. You can, I tell you what, if you want to invest with anybody that you hear is presenting on that platform, call me. I'll give you their number. You can call the syndicator direct. You don't have to go through that platform. There's no value add at all to that platform with respect to many things. I do think that if you're male and you're interested in learning more about testosterone, I hear comments on that show about things like that, which, you know, I'm not sure what that has to do with real estate or financial planning. But nonetheless, hey, I'm not going to consult with you about testosterone. I'm not a doctor. I don't you know, I'm not apprised as to how to make testosterone affect my NOI in my real estate projects or in partnerships that I'm a partner in. I can help you with that. I can help you understand the math behind analyzing transactions, whether you're in them already and you're trying to understand the reporting, understanding the tax implications. Hey, I can help you with that, but I have no idea how the outcomes under these real estate partnerships are going to change, or for the better or the worse, based on your testosterone levels in your body. And as far as romancing your wife, which is the other topic I hear brought up, you know, again, you take care of yours, I'll take care of mine. Okay, that's the way that I would assess that. And I wish the host of that show would do likewise. And I'll tell you that romancing your wife has a different connotation and a different context with that party than it probably would with you. But in any event, we'll leave that for the moment. And I don't know. I think that, you know, what we do here and what we do as a firm is we don't sell investments, nor do we promote or recommend specific investments. Well, we may discuss opportunities on the air, which, you know, maybe it's the first time you're becoming aware of them. But I always want you to understand, we don't collect a fee from any syndicator, lead partner, or sponsor to bring up the specific opportunity, and we don't even tell you the name. Now, some of you may be in the know. You may already be a client of ours, and I may have mentioned that, hey, this syndicator has a new transaction. It's something you may want to look at. I'm not condoning it. I don't recommend it per se. Happy to analyze the math for you if you decide you want me to do that and help you understand what you're signing up for. Because if you don't understand the math behind the pro forma information, you probably aren't tracking rental growth rates and absorption rates and the number of product or number of units that are in the pipeline to be delivered into a certain market to where you can assess the likelihood of success, or you can assess the likelihood of success with a given project. And that's what we do. And again, we don't have any dog in the hunt. It's not you know, a client of mine that's doing it. It's not a member of anything that I'm involved with necessarily. And it's independent advice. And if that's what you're seeking, you can feel free to connect with us. And, you know, we won't ask you for a $20,000 or $25,000 fee necessarily. Just because you connect with us, we want to talk to you. We want to understand what you're about, how much money that you intend to invest, and in what increments, because that's what tells us how active you're going to be, and it gives us some idea of, you know, are you going to be using retirement funds where we've got to do some structuring. And, you know, we quote a fee to every client. Likely it's different to every client. It depends on what you as a client want to do. And, you know, if it's someone that's got, you know, $1 million to invest, and you're going to invest that in, I don't know, 20 transactions at $50,000 each, or 10 transactions at $100,000 each, those are two different scenarios in our world. We're not selling you a membership where you come into a room with 200 other people and you're not getting one-on-one advice. And as far as coaching goes, I would be real careful who you sign up to have as your coach. And I would question very specific questions. And if you need help with coming up with questions, that's something that I can assist you with. And I'll give you some ammunition to ask questions of coaches, of syndicators, of lead partners, whoever you might need to quiz to find out if they know what they're talking about. And you'll be amazed at how many people in the syndication space don't understand the syndication transactions as a general rule. They don't understand the documents. They don't understand the calculations. They talk like they do. They talk about how they'll educate you on these concepts. And the reality is there's very little education provided by some of these platforms that you can't glean from your own reading and your own ability to process. And I can help you with that. I've said many times I can summarize the top to the bottom of a syndication transaction in 30 minutes or less. I can have you able to analyze any transaction out there 30 minutes or less, and at least have an understanding of whether this is a transaction I want to spend more time on. I'll give you a tool that I've developed that only requires three numbers, and you don't have to be a mathematician to understand it. And in terms of you being able to sort through, and let's say you're looking at six or seven transactions, pick two or three that are the ones that you should spend more time on and do your due diligence, vet your lead partners. And again, I'll give you the questions to ask to make sure that you're getting someone that's been to the finish line, knows what's involved, and truly understands, not just at a superficial level, which is what you get with some of these platforms that I'm mentioning. And not to say that there's not some value with some of them. Self-Made Millionaires platform here in town has value. You may not stumble across it unless you have somebody guiding you, such as myself. I'm happy to show you where that program has value. I'm also happy to point out when you should back off. And you won't be told when you're a member about the history at times and some other members that are leading transactions. You won't know where that member may have stumbled and may not have gotten to the finish line, may have had a foreclosure. There's transactions right now as we speak that are either in foreclosure or flirting with foreclosure, sent properties back to the lender. That's the real world, folks. And when you go to case study night, you're never going to see someone that had a failed transaction in the recent past presenting on case study night. Why? Because that doesn't sell memberships. And remember, these are in large measure, if not 100%, these are membership sales organizations. The founders came out of one of the largest membership firms around in the health club business. That's their mindset. That's how they were taught to sell. Not to say that some of them don't understand real estate. They do. Some of them don't. Some of them never progressed out of the salesman mode of selling memberships. And you won't know that because you don't know the history that we do. You know, been doing this little section on real estate private partnership syndications for over 20 years now. Got a lot of history on the groups that undertake these syndications nationally, not just in Houston, even though that's where two of the largest groups are. And, you know, again, been there, done that, been a member of a couple of them. And happy to share that information with you freely to help you keep from making a mistake. And just understand, in this day and time, you can avoid the old school way of investing where you join a membership organization and you are fed syndications simply from their members or from their fee-based syndicators that pay to present deals to you. It's a horrible model in terms of getting quality and getting people that have an incentive to make you money as opposed to simply their fees and their promotes, which is the overrides they get, and will help you understand that. And again, I'm not going to tell you go invest with John Doe. I'm going to suggest that, hey, here's the math. Want to make sure you understand it. I don't work with stupid clients. Once I hand them the math, they're pretty good at figuring out, okay, this transaction is structured in a way that will fit my objective on when I need to be able to extract funds, because maybe I'm investing my retirement money. I've got to make required minimum distributions here soon, and I need to know that my money is going to be coming back to me in the form of some repetitive, frequent distributions. And, you know, you won't get that with most of the membership organizations that I'm familiar with, and very familiar with your choices here in Houston. Anyway, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we will come back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
With big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. Speaking of Dolly Parton, I had an email this week from a listener that asked me why I would pick Dolly Parton. Said, you know, you've obviously got an audience mostly of male listeners, which I'm not sure how that would be the case. I get emails and texts from ladies as well, but he said, why would you, and I say he, I think it was a he, why would you pick Dolly Parton? And, you know, I hadn't really thought about that because I didn't think about, male-female issues when I picked her music. I picked her music because it seemingly had lyrics that fit our content. And just curious, we didn't say anything about the Dire Straits intro and exit. And I, you know, Walk of Life, I thought that had some relevance. But anyway, I'm always looking to change. I like change. I don't like keeping anything forever. So if you've got any thoughts or suggestions on that, send me an email or send me a text. With the text, you can do it real time. I keep it up here on the screen. And if you have a question or you have your two cents, you want to chime in on Dolly, feel free to do that. But I'm not ready to change just yet, but I'm sure that day's coming. So let me know who else we could plug in. Anyway, okay, well, we mentioned the Be a Planner show website earlier, and I wanted to go to the news page on the Be a Planner show. It's there under the resource tab or resources tab, top right, and I've got several new articles, and actually I've got some articles from last week that I never got to that I want to talk about, but anyway, first article on the list from, let's see, a couple days ago on the GlobeStreet.com site is apartment rents post a national monthly growth of over 1% in May. That's significant, folks. And I don't know, again, I mean, you got to, the devil's in the details. And if it went up a percent, or it could have gone up 2% and had a couple or several markets big enough that could have been minus 1% to get back down to 1%. So don't forget the warning I give you when it comes to the word average. And just remember, none of us are average. We're all actual or normal. And always, always remember that when you look at these articles. And I promise you, there's articles out there. In fact, I probably have some from last week where the growth rate went down. So just depends on your perspective. It depends on which window you're looking into the room, so to speak, as to what you might see. But anyway, the National Rent Index saw both one and two bedrooms increase 1.2% for the month of May to medians of 1,504 for one bedrooms and 1,865 respectively, marking the first time there has been a monthly growth rate of over 1% in 20 months, according to Zumper, and I'm only assuming that Zumper must be some real estate data intelligence gathering site. Syracuse and Columbus, I guess that's Columbus, Ohio, Syracuse, New York, presumably. Rents were the fastest growing nationwide, both climbing over 20% since this time last year. That's unbelievable. And in fact, I don't believe it. I'm not sure what the pool of data was. That's hard to stomach, that the rents could have gone up that much in the face of the headwinds that we were dealing with. But anyway, supposedly both those markets climbed over 20%. And by the way, that's what I was referring to when you look at the average. Well, 20% in a couple of sizable markets such as these, that'll smooth out a lot of lower or even negative rates. But anyway, demand has shrunk in some of the biggest California cities as the majority of this state's markets experience declining annual rent rates. On an annual basis, the national one-bedroom rate was flat, while two bedrooms inched up 0.5%. Although the annual rates have cooled significantly from the price hikes experienced in the last few years, they have not offset those large increases. As a result, the national one-bedroom rent is still $287 more expensive than it was 4 years ago, and the national two-bedroom rent is nearly 400% pricier. Well, you know, that could be, it's kind of like that cheeseburger I had at Bex Prime the other day or yesterday. You know, it seemed like, you know, a party of five was over $100 to get hamburgers. Now, admittedly, Bex Prime is the best burger. There's little dispute of that. I've seen that on multiple surveys in Houston. And I tell you what, we left nothing on the table. I'll just suggest that. Very good. And yet, you know, if you backed up 4 years, I guarantee you that would have been at least 20% less if we're talking about the same rate here as in the apartment game. So I don't know that these rate changes are anything more than inflation. It's everywhere, you know. So anyway, declining demand as well. Hang on, I'm skipping over some markets here. Let's go back to the California area. 7 of the 11 California cities in the Zumper report had negative annual rent rates for one bedroom units. And of those 7 declining markets, nearly all were located in the top 20th percentile in terms of price and population. Oakland and Sacramento led the pack with rents down between 8% and 9% since this time last year. Los Angeles, San Jose, San Francisco, San Diego, and Long Beach followed suit. And of course, again, averages. I've got a good friend that has at least 6 rental properties, condos, in San Diego, and he hadn't been dropping his rents. Of course, you know, these are nice upscale units, and I don't know. It's all a question of define average for me, so I can tell you whether or not it fits a given party. But anyway, declining demand as opposed to increased supply seems to be the main reason why rents are diving in California, Zumper concludes. Of the top 50 largest markets, the Bay Area and Los Angeles metro areas have some of the largest population losses in the last few years. Well, that'll do it for you, right? Also, these two areas have not recovered from COVID-related job losses. Meanwhile, San Diego experienced net move-outs in nearly every submarket and experienced the worst demand performance of the nation's 150 largest cities, while Sacramento's occupancy rate has continued to decline every quarter since 2021 through 2023. On the other end of the spectrum, Syracuse and Columbus had the fastest growing rents nationwide, both climbing over 20% annually. Syracuse saw one-bedroom rent jump 28.6%. That's crazy. While Columbus rent climbed 22.5%. Notably, Syracuse rent also had the biggest monthly growth rate nationwide as well. Zumper pointed out, Syracuse has recently seen historic population growth. That'll do it for you, right? It houses a large national university, and many homes are owned rather than for rentals. So the demand and competition in this city have swelled considerably. I'm not sure. I don't understand. I mean, Syracuse University's been around. It's not like it was half empty until a year ago. So I'm not sure I buy this explanation. But hey, if I'm an owner in a property in Syracuse, I'm loving life at this point. Meanwhile, Columbus has been rapidly developing, drawing more people in for a more affordable cost of living and employment opportunities. People, I guess, getting out of the big city. The city actually saw the largest population growth among major U.S. metropolitan areas at the end of 2023. With rising demand in Syracuse and Columbus, rent rates will likely continue to increase throughout the year in both cities until new apartment supply is built. So why do we care? Well, obviously, you know, this dictates one of the biggest variables we look at when we analyze syndication opportunities is how are we going to get our money back? You know, we put money into this asset, this apartment building, and unless we can get the net operating income to go up, which top line in that equation is the rental rate. The growth in the rental rate is what makes the property more valuable. If you get zero growth, depending on how well you bought it, you know, the pricing, you may not get any profit back out of the deal unless you can show that the rental rate has grown, has increased, and therefore the bottom line, which we would refer to as, well, not necessarily the bottom line, but the line that matters for valuing real estate and being able to refinance it and sell it, is net operating income. And so if you have a higher rental income, typically you're going to have higher NOI. There's exceptions, but typically you'd have higher NOI. And with a higher NOI, unless you're in a market with rising cap rates, as we've been lately, you're going to see a bigger gain, or you're going to be able to refinance it for more money, because we all use, investors that is, and bankers use the same, for the most part, use the same valuation regimen, which involves NOI and cap rates. So anyway, that article, by the way, was in the Globe Street, or on the GlobeStreet.com site, and it is free. You do need to register, I believe, but it is a free newsletter that's updated. I mean, I get, I don't know, half a dozen or maybe a dozen articles per day talking about all genre of real estate. There's an article on the sidebar, why car washes, gas stations, and convenience stores dominate the net lease market. So, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, what's going on in other markets. The office market's a big one that they cover as well. Second article on my list is it's about the Fed. The Fed is raising the possibility that higher rates, a rate hike, may be necessary. Fed President Neil Kashkari, I think I'm saying that correctly, just said it, and the possibility was also raised in the recent FOMC minutes. I believe that's is it quarterly or the monthly meeting? In any event, you're starting to hear the drumbeat start again. Fed Reserve officials can't seem to stop hinting that instead of lowering interest rates, they might be forced to raise them if inflation isn't tamed. This message was more recently delivered by the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis President Neil Kashkari at the Barclays CEPR International Monetary Policy Forum in London a couple days ago. I don't think anybody has totally taken rate increases off the table, he said. I think the odds of us raising rates are quite low, but I don't want to take anything off the table. The possibility of higher rates was also raised in the minutes from the April 30th, May 1 policy meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee. There's your FOMC acronym, the Federal Open Market Committee, which reported that various participants mentioned a likeliness or a willingness, I'm sorry, not a likeliness, to tighten policy further should risk to inflation materialize in a way that such an action becomes appropriate. Federal Reserve Governor Michelle Bowman also said recently that it's possible interest rates may have to move higher to control inflation. While it's not my baseline outlook, I continue to see the risk that at a future meeting we may need to increase the policy rate further should progress on inflation stall or even reverse, she said in a speech to the Shadow Open Market Committee in New York. Reducing our policy rate too soon or too quickly could result in a rebound in inflation, requiring further future policy rate increases to return inflation to 2% over the longer run. This is nothing new. They've been saying this since there were these kind of policy forecasts forever. I mean, since the beginning of the Fed, whenever that was, it's been a while. Let's see here. We've got, let's talk about absorption, the next article when we get back from the break. I think we'll go ahead and take another break. It'll be our last break today. We'll be back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we're glad you could join us today. And if you want to get a question in to me, feel free to text me at 713-581-0195, and that's whether you want to do it today or whether you want to do it at any time, or you can call me, leave a voicemail if you're more old school. That's fine. We like old school. We're old guys too, you know, my associate Dan DuBose and I, and we'll be happy to work with any other you old school folks that are listening. It is radio after all, right? So it's pretty much what we like. Okay, the next article I want to talk about, and this may be the last one, I've got one syndication I wanted to try to mention today. An article about absorption. Multifamily absorption skyrockets in Q1, or the first quarter here of 2024. That, combined with the average rental growth rate ticking up by an average of 1%, that's good news. That's big news in the multifamily arena. Not that there's not still issues, but a record number of apartments was absorbed in first quarter 2024, surging by nearly 104,000. That blows away the average of 12,500 recorded in that time frame, first quarter of a year, over the past 30 years. That's pretty spectacular. And this is being reported by Marcus & Millichap, which is one of the larger commercial real estate brokerage firms, does a lot of multifamily. But in any event, with, quote, with traditionally strong spring and summer months still to come, should put net absorption on track to reach a three-year high, barring any unexpected setbacks. So again, good news, because part of the lower rents that we're seeing on renewals and new walk-ups is because the supply at the moment had a lot of deliveries the last couple years and even more coming this year. You can't just stop the development train. You know, once you get permits and once you've got commitments to buy materials and you've got labor commitments, and it's just a matter, you know, it's not just a matter of blowing ahead. You've got timing issues to deal with. And so this is certainly good news if you're predominantly a developer, but it still affects people that already own units on the ground. It's still, you know, you're operating the same market. And let me tell you, when, you know, a city the size of Houston or San Antonio drops another, you know, 20 to 30,000 units into the mix, don't think that doesn't affect your average rental growth rate that you're going to see over the next 2 or 3 years, because it absolutely will. According to Marcus & Millichap, additionally, there was an eight-month low in the time an average apartment sat idle at 28 days. That represents a significant recovery from 34 days as recently as December of 2023. The number of new lease applications per unit also rose to an eight-month high in April, while the rate of signed renewals reached the strongest measure since August 2023, reflecting demand from both new and existing tenants, according to Marcus & Millichap. So that's the overall incredibly good news. The influx of new supply remains a major influence on vacancy and rents, as more than 135,000 units were completed in the U.S. in the first quarter, the largest quarterly tally on record. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, but, you know, as long as the absorption is continuing to go up, that would seem to indicate that all the new units coming into the not just the pipeline, but on the ground, won't have quite the catastrophic effect on the market. Again, your market may vary, and you have to understand absorption. You have to understand how many units are being delivered in the near term, how many units are otherwise in the pipeline for development, how many permits were just issued. There's a number of variables that we track in about, 16, 17 markets around the country. And we constantly, we have that information on a monthly basis, comes in updated, and it's critical information for understanding whether the pro forma information that you may be looking at on a transaction is potentially correct or whether it's flawed, because the syndicator is more interested in portraying a nice, pretty picture to separate you from your money and get you to invest in a deal. And they've cut some corners on some of their due diligence. Let's see. Let me scan the rest of this article. A recent pullback. Well, let me go back here. Vacancy rose by 10 basis points in spite of the influx during the first quarter to 5.9%. So not a big increase given the extra deliveries. Construction was once again clustered with just 8 major markets: Atlanta, Austin, Charlotte, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, New York City, Orlando, and Phoenix, combining for more than one-third of the national completions during the first quarter. A recent pullback in multifamily permits, however, may signal a longer-term, more substantial shutdown is brewing. Year over year in Q1, 9 major markets had annual inventory growth of more than 4%. Austin, Charlotte, Nashville, Raleigh, and Salt Lake City, which had supply expansions of at least 6.5%. Pretty big supply. And that's one reason we know the Austin market fairly well. That's one reason there's been, there's trouble brewing in the Austin market. Significant foreclosures, and there's probably a lot more to come. Concessions are also coming to dominate. In March 2024, the share of apartments offering concessions climbed to a 35-month high of 13.6%, rising by over 500 basis points from the same month 1 year earlier. They are being found in upper-class properties and are increasing in lower-quality rentals. So we've had a big influx of Class A buildings, and that is apparently coming to bear. Okay, let's change directions for a moment and talk about a syndication that caught my eye here recently. And I'm going to talk quickly to get through this. It is a 506C transaction, which means you would have to be accredited. I'll correct that if I figure out I'm wrong. I'm assuming because of a few things that popped up on the summary. The preferred investor return is 8%, which that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot just off the cuff. There could be a private equity slice that's in there ahead of you. Preferred return typically means you're going to get money before the syndicator does. There's a distribution schedule. The frequency is going to be monthly. So if I were looking at this versus a deal where I'm going to get my money back, no distributions for a year and a half or 4 years, or like one transaction I'm in where it was pitched as a deal that you wouldn't get any distributions until the 5-year exit plan was executed. 10 properties, 10 property portfolio, which was fine with me. I'm not going anywhere fast, I hope, to where I'll be able to wait for that money. But in any event, here's a transaction that's monthly. So if you're using retirement money, this, and you need money for your retirement, this might be the type of transaction, whether it's this one or others, that you would look at. This property is up in the Dallas area, I believe Las Colinas maybe. It's Irving. It's a 200-unit plus property built in 1972. And, these are the kind of deals we like. You know, it's of an age where renovations will increase the market rent, theoretically, you know, bring the amenities up to date. This project is targeting cash-on-cash returns of 6%, and target an investor IRR of 18.6%. That's not a project-level IRR. This is actually looking at the investor level, which is what I would caution you to do. I've seen assorted transactions offered, and the syndicator brags about the big numbers, the high-end numbers that they're going to generate, and they don't really differentiate between how much of that IRR or how much of, you know, what's the equity multiple, as an example, on for the passive investor as opposed to the team, the management team. But in this case, we've got a equity multiple, target equity multiple of 1.64, and this is over 3 years. So if I take 1.64, divide that by 36, that works out to about 0.045 0.5, which is very close to what I look at as a gold standard, 0.0463. This is right there. And 0.0463 is, again, I refer to it as the gold standard, but it lets us generate a doubling of our money in just 3.6 years, 43.2 months. So actually, this target equity multiple of 1.64 is at or a bit over our gold standard if they actually pull it off in 3 years. Because in our case, we're looking at 3.5 years roughly. And so these are the kind of transactions that are starting to come back, folks. If you're sitting on the fence, now's the time to start looking at transactions. You've kept your powder dry, hopefully. You haven't fallen for any of the three-year bridge debt type deals. Now, this is three-year bridge debt, so I'm going to warn you, you know, this project has to materialize the way they're projecting, where it's got a story to tell when they get to the end of the 3 years if they need to refinance. Now, this particular syndicator is somebody that has not had issues, from what I know, with not being able to execute and refinance out of bridge debt or sell. And I suspect he's already got plans. He's already got some prospects lined up for both refinancing and for selling. But in any event, that's something that if we were to dig in on this transaction and do some due diligence for a client, we would absolutely seek to learn more about that type of debt structure. So these are the kind of things that we do for clients. We look at transactions. We try to understand who's involved. Is it somebody we're familiar with? Is it somebody that thinks in terms of achieving similar math metrics as we do? You know, I've heard some of the national, you know, the well-known personalities like a Grant Cardone. I've heard him refer to doubling your money in 10 years. No, how about doubling your money in 3.5 or 4 years? That's what's going to create wealth. That's what's going to help you catch up on your retirement wealth to where when you live to the ripe old age of 85, 86, or 87, 88 if you're female, 85, 86 if you're male. Those are IRS life expectancies, by the way. That's a long time to come up with the monthly tab to pay your bills. Anyway, we're approaching the end of the show here. I hear the music coming on, and I appreciate you joining in. Enjoyed the show on this end. I hope you did on that end. And I hope you found it a bit entertaining, but it is far from entertainment that we deal with here. So anyway, we hope you can join us again tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.